Is a lecture given by His Holiness Devaramita Swami on Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 13th Chapter, text number 20, recorded on the 3rd of August 2014 at New Varshan, Auckland.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 13, Brahma stealing the boys and calves, text 20. Swayam atma mago vatsa jivayatma vatsapai vidannatma viharanshta savatma pravishat rajam. Translation. Now expanding himself so as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appearing as their leader, Krishna entered Rajabhumi, the land of his father, Nandamaraj, just as he usually did while enjoying their company. Purport. Krishna usually stayed in the forest and pasturing land, taking care of the calves and cows with his associates, the cowherd boys. Now that the original group had been taken away by Brahma, Krishna himself assumed the forms of every member of the group without anyone's knowledge, even the knowledge of Baladev, and continued the usual program. He was ordering his friends to do this and that, and he was controlling the calves and going into the forest to search for them when they went astray, allured by new grass. But these calves and boys were he himself. This was Krishna's inconceivable potency. As explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, Radha Krishna Pranayata Kritiya Kladhani Shakya Asma. Radha and Krishna are the same. Krishna, by expanding his pleasure potency, becomes Radharani. The same pleasure potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, was expanded by Krishna when he himself became all the calves and boys and enjoyed transcendental bliss in Brajabhumi. This was done by the Yogamaya potency and was inconceivable to persons under the potency of Mahamaya. Om Yanajanandasya Yananjana Shalapaya Shakshamilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Who can understand Krishna? In Bhagavad Gita he says, Name Vidu, Suragana, Aham Adhiri Devana. The demigods don't know me. The demons don't know me. In every case, I'm the source of everyone and everything. In other words, I'm here eternally before them. Brahma is feeling challenged. He's Adi Kavi, the original intellectual of the universe. He's firstborn. His birth is material. Whether he takes birth from a womb or a lotus flower, still a material birth. So Brahma, as you know, took birth from a lotus flower, coming from the navel of Gargadaksha Krishna. This is artistry. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does whatever he likes in the way of the best art. Just think, having the first person in the universe take birth from a lotus flower. Now you may say, this is fantastic. How can you accept this?
But as we were discussing a few days ago somewhere, all you can say is maybe yes, maybe no, with your ordinary intelligence. Maybe Krishna did this, maybe Krishna didn't. You can't say for sure about anything because you're totally trapped by your material mind and senses. You can't say anything definitively. So why then reject Krishna just because Krishna does things that are far beyond the range of your tiny intelligence? You have to be honest. Maybe, maybe not. And then Krishna is giving you the process to verify his existence. And he's teaching you the science of his appearance in this world and his activity. So, why not give Krishna a fair go? As a conditioned soul, you cannot say anything about anything. Yet, the world is full of people who are pronouncing great knowledge. The first crucial step in bhakti is to understand how trapped you are, how contained you are, and how you can never get real knowledge with your imperfect senses, all on your own. That is you. That is real humility. Not simply to go around with folded palms or speaking so probably no one can hear you. Real humility begins with understanding you're trapped. You're helpless. Your mind and senses and intelligence cannot give you the knowledge you need. So you may say, what do you mean? With my mind, intelligence, and senses, I can figure out how to make money. I can figure out how to gratify my senses, although I'm never satisfied through this process of gratifying my senses. I can still figure that out. But you see, from the viewpoint of Srimad Bhagavatam, that kind of application of intelligence is not considered very important. So, in what way are you trapped and contained? You cannot understand the most important questions in life unaided because of the limitations of your senses and their imperfections. You cannot, on your own, figure it all out. Just like a child. You can hear a child in the back. The child can't figure it all out on her own. You can remember, maybe, when you were a little tiny child, everything was bewildering. But your parents tried to make your life of bewilderment fun. Have some toys. Look at mother, look at father. But basically, a child is totally bewildered. The only thing that makes sense to an infant is being fed. That's about it. Our mistake is that when we become adults, we think, now I can stand on my own 2 feet. I'm not dependent anymore. When actually, in terms of understanding the information you need to live a successful life, you can't do it on your own. You're helpless just like a child. Srimad Bhagavatam comes to you not from a point within this material world. Krishna is explaining himself. You cannot figure Krishna out from within the material universe. Krishna makes his entrance through the transcendental knowledge. You're hearing about the Brahma Vimohana Lila, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. First of all, you have to understand who is Brahma, then you can appreciate the significance. He's the smartest person in the universe. Those of you who are saying Gayatri Mantra, the first mantra of it is called Brahma Gayatri. It's glorifying Brahma. He's the head of our parampara. This is the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, coming from Brahma Madhvacharya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's how important Brahma is. Yet even he becomes bewildered about Krishna's activity. So understanding who is Brahma, then you can appreciate Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Eva Yome Titanata. If you can understand, Krishna says, the truth, the perfect science of my appearance in this world, my so-called Janma, and my activities, my so-called karma, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another material body. You'll come to me, Krishna says. Janmashtami is approaching. It's a perfect time to understand how it is that the unborn apparently takes birth. And how is it that Krishna acts, yet his activities are not forced by the laws of karma. Brahma became fascinated viewing Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. What did he just see? He had just seen Krishna kill Agasura. All of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends had marched into the mouth of Agasura, the snake demon. At first they were thinking, what is this? It's some kind of new amusement in Vrindavan forest. Some said, no, no, it looks like a huge, terrifying snake with his mouth wide open. So the cowherd boys were debating, what is this, a pleasure spot or a terrorist? But then they came to the conclusion, doesn't really matter what it is because Krishna will always protect us. Let's march into the mouth. So Krishna's watching all this. He's thinking, what to do? He's taking pleasure in solving this puzzle. You see tiny living entities taking pleasure in Rubik's Cube or something like that, playing chess. So Krishna is taking pleasure, thinking, what to do? The cowherd boys have marched into the mouth of this demon. So momentarily, it seemed that Krishna was perplexed. And Agasura was waiting with his mouth wide open. The bottom part of his mouth on the ground, the top part of his mouth high in the sky. What was Agasura thinking? Everyone has entered my mouth except Krishna. Krishna killed my brother and sister. It's quite a ferocious family. His sister was Pujana, his brother was Bakasura, the duck demon. He was waiting. And Krishna was thinking, how can I kill this demon when my friends, my cowherd boyfriends, the gopas, are in his mouth? What to do? How do I go about this? But Krishna was relishing, momentarily not knowing. And then he knew exactly what to do. But he always knows what to do. But he's the supreme enjoyer. So sometimes he likes to enjoy being mystified, as if he doesn't know something. Brahma was watching all this in amazement. But that wasn't the end of Brahma's amazement. He was watching the cowherd boys in the forest. You see, after Krishna killed the Agasura, and all the cowherd boys emerged from the mouth of the Agasura unscathed, then Krishna took them to the bank of the Jamuna River. When we hear about Krishna Leela without envy, then we can begin to understand. Why is it that our material mind may push it away? Oh, it sounds too fantastic. It's not because we're scientific. It's because we're envious. If you're actually scientific, all you can say is, maybe, maybe not. I'm helpless. I don't know. So much is beyond my understanding. But out of envy, you say, no, no. This cannot be. Not Krishna. But you can't give any superior knowledge. the devotees relish hearing of Krishna's pastimes. And as they engage in devotional service, their envy, lust, and greed diminish. This is so reassuring for devotees to see how your lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion gradually decrease. Sometimes there are these spikes, these upsurges, but you know how to handle that. There are challenges from the illusory energy. Maya wants to see how serious you are about going back to Godhead. Anyone can go back to Krishna's abode, but we're not very serious about it. Even though in this age of Kali, Krishna has made it so easy. A devotee gets reassurance, seeing that as the years go by, the dirt in the heart reduces. And as I said, even if there is some momentary attack by Maya, momentary cloudburst, downpour of illusory energy in your life, you know how to get your balance back. Especially if you know how to relish the association of devotees. And especially devotees who want to achieve the ultimate goal of life in this lifetime. In their association, even though you may have some temporary losing of balance, you can easily regain your composure. And you'll be stronger the next time. And also you'll be able to help others to stabilize. So in this way, a devotee's life is full of encouragement if the devotee knows how to situate himself or herself properly. What's another encouragement that a devotee feels? It's described in the beginning of this 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Shukadeva Goswami was congratulating Bridget Mars. Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga. You're asking me excellent questions. And that shows that you are Mahabhaga, maximally fortunate. How is your topmost fortune manifesting? You, Bridget Maharaj, can hear the pastimes of Krishna as ever fresh at every moment. This is the encouragement we long for. You have to long for something. You have to be alive with desire. Krishna is full of unlimited desire. And his devotees, although they're tiny parts and parcels of Krishna, they also are ablaze with spiritual desire. So Bridget Maharaj is leading the way. He's showing. As certified by Shukadeva Goswami, Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga. Every time, Bridget, you hear Krishna's glories, it seems like these glories have taken rebirth again. They're always in a fresh, infantile state. Navarasa. Newer and newer flavor. You can perceive that. This is what we want. For our chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, for our hearing about Krishna's pastimes, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, we want that. We perceive the reality. The reality is there's no material, hackneyed atmosphere pertaining to Krishna's glories. So where does that material sameness feeling come from? Where is that I've heard it all before feeling? Or this is nice, but it's not practical. This can't really help me. Hearing and chanting about Krishna is a luxury for the brahmacharya. Who has time for that? We live in the real world. Yes, all glories to Krishna, and I'll be there for Janmasthami, but as far as getting to the core of my problems, how is that possible? This material calculation is our own imposition. The Sanskrit term is arupita. We're imposing our mundane mentality on something that has no material qualities. We're hearing in the purport, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna has this pleasure potency, which he expands. We'll discuss today how that same pleasure potency, Halatini Shakti, that expands as Srimati Radharani, also will expand as the calves and the cowherd boys. And in this way, Krishna will enjoy transcendental bliss in Vrindavan. But the whole affair is inconceivable to those under the influence of Mahamaya. So let us be straight back. What is interfering with my perception of the Navarasa, the ever-fresh taste of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Krishna's glory? It's my material impositions. Because I want to hear like Pritchett Maharaj hears. We want to be congratulated by the likes of Shukadeva Goswami, Sadhu Krishna Mahabhaga. You are actually perceiving reality. You're hearing Krishna's pastimes as like you never heard them before. Maybe you can remember the first time you were reading Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How extraordinary. How out of this world. How sensational. Transcendentally sensational. But then as time goes by, you may develop material familiarity with the holy name, with Krishna Katha, Krishna's glory. So that's what we have to struggle with in the relationship. Just like I see so many grihastha couples struggling in the relationship once the romance feelings die off. Then they're trying to deal with material familiarity. Oh, it's you again. We've been together for 2 years. The same old you. I thought you were going to change, but... Why? The other ones go, I thought you were going to change. So they... What do relationship experts tell them?
You've got to work at the relationship.
The supreme relationship is with Krishna's holy name, who talks about Krishna. So when you feel that happy feeling, I've heard it all before, my mind has better things to do than submit to the transcendental sound vibration, I've got to be me. I've got to have my creative outlets. The holy name is not enough. Look, I'm not a new devotee anymore. I need other things. When that disease strikes, you have to know how to fight back. First of all, know it's a disease. As soon as you find something more important in life than hearing about Krishna, you know contamination. Recognizing the disease is the first step to curing. So then you have to know how to work at the relationship. Okay, I'm feeling encrusted by Maya. My chanting isn't what it should be. My hearing about Krishna's glories, somehow that's coming to me as the same old thing, not really helping me in my real life. You have to know how to strike back. That's the time to increase either the quantity, the quality, or both. That's the time to work on the relationship with chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna. You make plans how to do that. When Maya strikes you down, you strike back. Okay, I don't feel like chanting Hare Krishna anymore. I'm going to set aside some time or take a step that will bring back my perception of the Navarasa, the ever-fresh taste. So you have to be strategic. You just can't go to sleep on the job. You've got to be alive and dynamic in the transcendental workplace. The transcendental workplace involves the nine processes of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, so on. You have to know how to use your tools, how to wield the spiritual technology. So the way that Maya pulverizes us is just, we feel immobilized. Oh, my situation, There's nothing I can do. Oh, nothing is going the way I want it. You don't understand. And there's no point in talking to other devotees because they don't understand. And then you lose the energy, as I've explained so many times. Congratulate you. Wonderful. Figured it all out. Yes, you're right. What can devotees really understand about you? Your situation is different. No one has ever gone through it before. Yes, Krishna is right what he says in Bhagavad Gita, but your situation actually doesn't fit in under the umbrella of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, what is your only option? Just listen to me, Maya. I'll take care of you. I'm not so bad. And gradually you start to feel comfortable in Maya. And then you make a further mistake. Feeling comfortable in Maya. Just see, it wasn't as bad as the devotees told me it's going to be in Maya. I feel all right. I feel like it's the same me. I don't feel anything different. When that happens, you should know, but generally you won't, that you have been covered. You're like smothered with a blanket. And you don't realize. Because you've forgotten. You've been separated from your original knowledge. So let us remember how Shukadeva Goswami congratulates Prichamari. He does this throughout the Bhagavatam. Just like at the beginning of the seventh canto. When Prichamari asks the question, how can the Supreme Lord be show favoritism? He's equal to everyone. Yet it seems he could be known as partial because apparently he sided with Indra against Indra's enemies. And again, Shukadeva Goswami congratulated him. Sadhu Krishnam Maharaja. Oh, great saintly king, your question is excellent. So in the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is going further, describing, in the beginning of this chapter, the perception of the Navarasa, the ever-fresh flavor of Krishna Katha. This is for every devotee to discover how you can dig yourself out of a hole by increasing the quality and quantity of your hearing and chanting about Krishna. Once you realize you can dig yourself out of a hole by doing that, you become a stronger devotee. Of course, often the argument is, we have no time to dig ourselves out of a hole. This is just the way it's going to be, I guess, until I'm 60 or something. Time is what you make it. The priorities you set in life, they're your own choosing. Even though you may be pressured by so many material circumstances, you still have options. And by hearing and chanting about Krishna, you're able to see those options. So here's the catch. It's mystical. Unless you're looking at a situation with spiritual intelligence, you won't see the options available to you for spiritual advancement. You'll feel boxed in. You'll feel in prison, and you may even get angry at devotees. Look, you don't understand. I just don't have the time. Let's go over my schedule. I'll show you there's no time for chanting Hare Krishna. It is impossible. But someone who is properly situated in hearing and chanting Hare Krishna can see. There are opportunities. There is space in your life for Krishna. But when you're in Maya, you can't see it. That's the definition of Maya. You can't see anything. Although you feel normal and you feel like you're on top of your life. No, it's not like what the devotees say. They say I'm in Maya, but I tell you I feel the same as always. It's the same old me. You can count on that. You can't see things. Our standard is, our litmus test is what Shukadeva Goswami tells Prichamara. You're completely healthy. Your spiritual health is 100% because you can hear the glories, the pastimes of Krishna is ever fresh. This is our aspiration. How do you get to that point? This is stated in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Vasudeva
Tathāvīci
Śyāmaḥ
Sevayā Viprah.
By rendering devotional service to the devotee of Krishna, you acquire the Tathāvīci, the taste for talks about Vasudeva. Vasudeva Tathāvīci. That comes, that ruchi, that taste comes by engaging in devotional service. Alright. Brahma is watching the scene on the bank of the Jamuna River. He's already been amazed by what Krishna did with Agasura, the snake demon. So after killing of the snake demon, Krishna brought the cowherd boys to the bank of the Jamuna. And let's note the scene there. It appealed to all the senses. And Krishna pointed this out. Just look. Isn't this a beautiful scene? Just smell the aroma coming from the lotus flowers. Just hear the birds and bees humming and chirping. And just feel the soft, clean sand under you. This is a perfect spot for our picnic pastimes. Krishna knows what to do. This is more important, infinitely more important than Krishna's indirectly creating the material world, than Krishna's empowering Brahma to be the secondary creator of the material world. Infinitely more important than that is this activity on the bank of the Jamuna in Goloka Vrindavan, in which Krishna is choosing a spot for the picnic pastimes. That is the real definition of God. He knows how to pick the best picnic spot. This picnic spot on the bank of the Jamuna, Krishna pointed out, the Acharyas say, has three possibilities. It's good for playing, it's good for mock fighting, and it's good for taking lunch all in rows. So in this way, that spot on the bank of Jamuna had all these necessary features for cowherd boy enjoyment. Because they like to play, they like to fight, and they like to eat, seated in rows, all staring at Krishna. So this spot was just suitable for that. So everyone sat in rows. And everyone, all the cowherd boys, they're looking at Krishna. Krishna's looking just at me. This is the nature of the spiritual world. There are unlimited devotees, but each devotee feels Krishna is mine. So every cowherd boy, even though they weren't seated amongst the intimate cowherd boys like Sridhama, Sudama, Subala, those are the intimate ones. Those intimate cowherd boys even know about Krishna's pastimes with his girlfriends. So, nevertheless, everyone, no matter where they sat in their rows, all felt, Krishna is looking at me. Every devotee, as you're aspiring to increase your service, you can also feel that Krishna is caring for you. If you want to feel that more, take more steps forward in your devotional service. Because Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I deal with you. So as the cowherd boys are seated, they reach for their lunches. You see, usually the cowherd boys, when they go to the forest in the morning, they bring their lunches wrapped in a cloth hanging from a pole. They carry the pole on their shoulders, and the lunch is hanging from the pole. So you may have a question about those lunch packets. Didn't the cowherd boys just come out of Agasura's mouth? So how did the lunch packets fare from within of Agasura's mouth? You can wonder about the details. And sometimes the Acharyas, they fulfill your curiosity about details. They said there's two possibilities. Either before the cowherd boys marched into Agassiz's mouth, they left their lunch packets outside. Or the lunch packets were so transcendental that even though entering in with Agassiz's mouth, they were untouched, unsullied. In any case, the lunch was intact, okay? And what a lunch it was. Where did the cowherd boys put their lunch? Some of them put the lunch on leaves, others on rocks, others on bunches of flowers, others on lotus leaves, others on their chudders. And as they were eating, whenever they got a preparation that they thought was particularly exquisite, it was all supremely perfect, they would offer to Krishna, "Krishna, just taste this. See what my mother has made. Taste this, Krishna." So in this way, everyone is exchanging prasad, urging each other, "Taste this one. This is really good." It was all infinitely tasty. They'd have fun sometimes on each other. A cowherd boy would say, "Taste this prasad, this is wonderful." And then, while the other cowherd boy wasn't looking, that cowherd boy offering the food would put some flowers on top of it. And then give it to the other cowherd boy, who would just take it blindly. And he would make a strange face, and all the cowherd boys would laugh. And then the cowherd boys, after laughing, they would chase after the cowherd boy who did this trick. So this way they're having such a good time. Brahma is watching this. That's my point. He says, "You can't believe it. What an intimate scene, so personal. This Gopalila, this cowherd boy pastimes." He was overwhelmed watching this. It was beyond what his intelligence could understand. Suddenly, it was noted that the calves that the cowherd boys were supposed to be minding had gone far away. And that's their source of livelihood, apparently. You see, in Krishna's pastimes, you really don't have to earn a wage. You don't really have to worry about the finances. But it's part of the leela, it's part of the pastime. "Oh, where did the calves go? Oh, no." They're all about to get up from their lunch and go running after the calves. They had left the calves in some luscious grass on the bank of the Yamuna, but now the calves were gone. What does Krishna do in these circumstances? Krishna wants his devotees to enjoy. No, don't get up from your prasad. Those of you who know the art of taking prasad, you know that you don't want to get up to answer the phone or any other kind of things while you're taking prasad. You're honoring prasad. So Krishna didn't want his devotees' enjoyment to be disturbed. This is how caring Krishna is. It's his devotee care program. Don't get up from prasad. I'll take care of everything. So Krishna began to search for the calves. And he couldn't find them. And then he came back to the spot on the bank of the Yamuna where all the cowherd boys were taking lunch, and they were gone too. Brahma is watching this. How is Krishna going to respond to what I've just done? From Brahma's vision, he had stolen all the calves and cowherd boys. And now he's going to see Krishna respond. The Acharyas say that Brahma had predicted various options with his tiny intelligence. Tiny, although he's the smartest person in the universe, tiny compared to Krishna. You see, Brahma's trying to analyze Krishna's pastimes is compared to you trying to measure the sky with the span of your hand. How big is the sky? One hand span, two hand span. It's ridiculous. But Brahma was doing these things. So Brahma thought, here are the possible responses from Krishna. Krishna will start searching for them, and he won't find them. And then he may actually come to me and pray to me, "Oh Brahma, please show me where the cowherd boys are." Or he may just stand there in bewilderment. These are the possibilities Brahma had brilliantly figured out. He didn't know it was coming. So, how long, here's a question, how long did it take for Krishna to figure it all out? After all, Bhagavatam describes Krishna as Vishvavit. He knows everything in all of existence. So then, why was Krishna wandering here and there looking for the calves? And then he had to look for the cowherd boys. Doesn't he know? And when did he know? You may want to try to pick apart the pastime of that one. At what point did Krishna know? Now remember, in Krishna Leela, time has no effect. Time, Kala Shakti, is simply like a prop, a stage prop, for the pastime to change from one scene to another. Did Krishna know before he started searching? Did Krishna know while he was searching? Did Krishna know after he searched? Here is the explanation. It's an explanation that is based on knowledge of Krishna's energies, his shaktis. The Upanishads say, Parasha Shakti Vividayiva Shuyate. The Supreme Absolute Truth has multifarious energies. Sabhavaki Ganabala Kriyacha. His Jnana Shakti, Sabhavati Jnana Bala Kriyata, his Jnana Shakti stood in the background, knowing that as Krishna is searching for the calves and cowherd boys, he's having fun doing that. So his knowledge Shakti is hanging back in the background. I won't serve Krishna just now. Because Krishna is never without his potencies. So he's enjoying searching. And so the Jnana Shakti, his knowledge potency, just lays back on the periphery. But then the Jnana Shakti sees, now is the time in the pastime for me to come forward with the knowledge. Now is the time for me, the Jnana Shakti, to do service. This is a devotee. You know exactly when and what to do. The Jnana Shakti, Krishna's knowledge potency, knew. Why is Krishna searching here and there? It's not that he's deficient in knowledge. No, he is starting his bewilderment of Brahma. He's playing the game, which will all lead to the Brahma Vimohana, the super special bewilderment of Brahma. Mohana means bewilderment. Vimohana means super bewilderment. So this is the Brahma Vimohana Leela, the pastime of the super bewilderment of the super person Brahma. So therefore Krishna is weaving the whole scene. Where are the calves? Where are the cowherd boys? What am I going to do? And then Krishna expands himself into Vishnu Tattva calves and cowherd boys. He was thinking, you see, it's 12 noon. My cowherd boys and calves couldn't have gone home without me. It's midday. We go home in the evening. So, this is the mystical feat of Brahma. So, Krishna decides to do three things at once. This is God doing three things at once. I'm going to give pleasure to Brahma by blowing his mind. And I'm going to give pleasure to the elder gopis and gopas in Vrindavan who always wanted me as their child. And I'm going to give pleasure to the cows. I'll become their calf. So in this way, Krishna accomplished three purposes. Dealing with Brahma, dealing with the elder gopis and gopas, dealing with the cows. So he became an exact replica
of the missing calves and cowherd boys.
No jiva tattva, no living entity energy. These are all supreme personalities of Godhead. So, with that crew, and this is what the verse is referring to, now expanding himself so as to appear as all the calves and cowherd boys, all of them as they were, and at the same time appearing as their leader, Krishna entered Brajabhumi, the land of his father, Nandamaraj. So you got the scene now? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is leading a herd of Supreme Personality of Godhead calves and Supreme Personality of Godhead cowherd boys back to Vrindavan. Now, how would Brahma ever have predicted such? And each cowherd boy and calf had exactly the same features and behavior as the one that they were replacing. All the memories, the characteristics. So when each cowherd boy got home, the parents had no doubt. This is our boy. The cows had no doubt. This is the calf, our calf. No one could figure this out. Even Baladev was bewildered. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna himself assumed the forms of every member of the group without anyone's knowledge, even the knowledge of Baladev, and continued the usual program. This is the inconceivable potency of Krishna. In this way, you can understand why Krishna is known as Achyuta, infallible. You know, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Senior, Ubayor Madhye, Rakam, Stapaya, Mejshuta. Arjuna says, oh, Achyuta, drive my chariot between the two armies so I can see who's here desiring to fight. Achyuta means that Krishna, although he appears in the mature world, he never falls under the influence in the slightest of his illusory energy. Never. That is infallible. Another way to understand Achyuta is that Krishna never mistakes material pleasure for real happiness. And guess who makes that mistake all the time? But in this Brahma Vimohana Leela, you see another meaning of Achyuta. That Krishna expands himself into unlimited calves and cowherd boys while himself remaining Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. Although all these emanations are coming from him, all these complete wholes are emanating from him, he is still intact as his original personality. You see, remember, he's not simply expanding himself as parts and parcels. He has expanded himself as other Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's what's going on in Vrindavan. So finally, what is flowing in Vrindavan right now? Gopi Stanyamrita, the nectarian breast milk of the mother gopis, is all being drunk by Krishna as their sons. Because all the mothers are thinking, all glories to Nanda and Yashoda, but if Krishna were my boy, I'd love him. So they're all hankering for a chance to have Krishna as their son, although they thought it was impossible. They're all thinking, I would love Krishna just as Yashoda loves her boy, I would do that. At the same time, Krishna was longing to receive their affection in that way. So he gave everyone a chance. He gave all the mothers and fathers in Vrindavan a chance to directly be Krishna's parent. Not simply as a village elder, but the mothers could feed Krishna their breast milk. The cows could feed Krishna their milk. In this way, the whole of Vrindavan was plunged in an unlimited increase in affection directed for Krishna. These mothers were showing more affection to their sons and calves that Krishna had replaced than they were to their original sons and calves. Because Krishna is the object of our deepest affection. Still, there's a small point here before we close. The affection that Krishna was getting from his mothers, from the cows, from the fathers, because Krishna took the place of their missing calves and cowboy boys, that affection was not as great as the affection that Krishna gets not as great as the affection that Krishna's devotees get in relationship to him. This is a very mysterious point. It's explained in the ninth canto, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains to Devasa Muni that without my devotees, I don't even want to relish my own transcendental bliss. It's a very fine point, but it shows that what the devotees are tasting is superior than even what the Supreme Personality of Godhead tastes. Therefore, Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the role of his own devotee. So even though Krishna is relishing assuming all the roles in Vrindavan, that relish is not as sweet as when his jivas are interacting in the normal way in Vrindavan. At the same time, Krishna is increasing the affection of his... Everyone became Krishna's mother, Krishna's father. The cows even had their own Krishna. Meanwhile, Brahma's mind is totally in shreds, as you'll find out. Thank you very much.